brought two different outlines with different size print to see what worked the best. Okay. Okay. It's interesting how that scripture can sort of come to us powerfully through different circumstances. And sometimes we're just reading scripture, and maybe we've read this scripture over and over, but then one day it grips us, sort of, to use the term epiphany very loosely, something like that. But sometimes we'll hear scripture referred to in a message, and I even many years ago, read scripture in a history book, a book on the Christian responses to the American Revolution, some for the revolution and fighting for it, some against the revolution and siding with the British, some pacifist, some we just don't want to be involved, we don't trust any of you. It brought home a scripture to me that was quoted from a revolutionary era sermon, which is a scripture that's kind of lost in Chronicles among all the Begats, but a scripture about the tribe of Issachar and how they were men of understanding, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And I thought, boy, that's the kind of folks we need. That's the kind of person I should be, person with discernment and understanding of the times. A few years ago, John Landrum was teaching, and he referred to a verse in Jeremiah 29:7 about the city. And it really jumped out at me at that time, and from time to time then I think about it. I've come across this verse in World Magazine a couple of times in the last year or so. Seems to be a very important verse to the editors of that magazine. And so I thought for tonight we would do some consideration of the city and the believer in the city. As I've thought about this, though, for several weeks, it got to be so big, I thought maybe I should change the topic. And everybody, of course, wants me to quit on time, and I would feel the same way if I was in your seat. And I'm no John Girardo, who 160 years ago, about this time of year, the summer of 1857 in Charleston, South Carolina, was speaking on a Wednesday night, and he dismissed the folks, and they refused to leave. Now, we won't do that tonight. They stayed till midnight and came back the next night and every night for 8 weeks. But the crowd grew and grew and grew, but that's a different thing. So we're going to have to kind of narrow our focus on the city and just try to pick up a few things, and you can build on that. The city is a huge subject throughout Scripture, from Genesis chapter 4 to the book of Revelation. We have a very negative thread of information about the city, and we have a more positive one. Negative, where Cain, murderer, builds a city, security. People are going to be trying to kill me, and he wants security. After the creation reboot, the people are, we don't want to be under another judgment like this, and we want to make a name for ourselves, and they build a city, and Nineveh, and then there's Babylon, which then we see represented throughout the Bible and all the way into the book of Revelation. On the positive side, we have the city of Jerusalem and its great importance. Mount Zion's there, the place of symbolizing the presence of God. We have cities of refuge, pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ, and lots in the Psalms about the blessedness of the city of Jerusalem. And then we have in the New Testament the New Jerusalem. But when we talk about the city, for us today, I want to focus on that. And I'm not just thinking in terms of a city itself. I live in the country. But I need to be concerned about my surroundings and my community. And I have an orientation towards Greensboro and High Point. come to the chapel here. Most of my jobs through the years were here. I go to Hop On a lot, taking my parents to doctors and so forth and buying their medicine. So I have orientations towards cities, and so those are kind of in my sphere of concern. And many of you live here in the city of Greensboro, and you'd be concerned about Greensboro. You're concerned maybe about your smaller community within the city. Some of us are from other cities. And certainly, and as we heard, like some of the prayers tonight, showing concerns about our large community, like our whole nation, what's going on there, about our military and so forth, we're having concerns for our culture. So in thinking about the city, we can be thinking in terms of a culture. And for our culture, we should have concern for its common will, for its good, for its safety and security and so forth. We could sort of ask ourselves questions like, how do I relate to my culture? How do I respond to it? Are there examples of people doing so in the Bible? We won't have time to answer all those questions, but you could think about them yourself. Let's look at some scripture. Let's look at Psalm 127, verse 1. And I'm just going to look at all these scriptures and then seek to tie them together. Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, then the watchman's staying awake is in vain. We really need the Lord's protection, his sovereign protection working in our cities, in our communities, and in our broader culture. Isaiah 45:7. I'm just going to back up to the last half of verse 6. Isaiah 45:6 in the middle. That there is no one beside me. I am the Lord. There is no other. The one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. Causing well-being and creating calamity. If you have a King James, it would be evil, I believe, causing evil. Now, I don't have a lot of time to spend on this. God is not the source of evil. And the word here is used in the sense of calamity, misfortune, adversity, and so forth. And we'll see a similar thought in another verse. Let's turn to the book of Amos. Amos chapter 3. I'll give you just a moment on that one, a little harder to find. Chapter 3, verse 6. If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people tremble? Trumpets often announce like an attack or something going wrong, something bad, and so people tremble. If a calamity occurs in a city, has not the Lord done it? Surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants and prophets. The Lord always warns ahead of time. The Lord has never sent misfortune into any people or any place without warning them ahead of time. We can find this in other places in Scripture, but we'll focus here on this. If a calamity occurs in a city, has not the Lord done it? I was amazed after my father had his stroke, and I was looking through his wallet, and it was either Isaiah 47 or Amos 3:6, and some other verses in his wallet. Now, unfortunately, I doubt he could have found them without some help. Unfortunately, my family got hung up on this God creating evil back a couple of generations, and but that doesn't seem to be so much a hang up to him anymore. But that's something you can think about, I guess, in praying for him. God does not create evil. God is wholly good. Evil cannot come from him. But in his sovereignty, he does design that misfortune can come the way of a people. And certainly adversity in our lives as individuals, because we can draw parallels between these individual occurrences and those in our lives. Okay, Lamentations chapter 1. Verse 4. The roads of Zion are in mourning because no one comes to the appointed feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests are groaning. Her virgins are afflicted. She herself is bitter. Her adversaries have become her masters. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord has caused her grief because of the multitude of her transgressions. Now, Jeremiah 29. I'm going to have to move on. But before we read in 29, we looked at these verses just as a reminder that as we think about problems in our culture, that these problems are brought on because of sin in our culture. And very often in the church, we bear the worst guilt, even though maybe our sin might not be as notorious as some of the people outside the church. But we are very much involved in setting the tone for our culture. And idolatry is one of the largest topics that in the Bible. It just keeps occurring over and over, references to it. And it's very, very damaging to cultures. And for us as Christians, we often, unfortunately for me, find ourselves sometimes in a mode of syncretism, where we want to worship God, but we want to have some idols, and so it's like there's this syncretism taking place, trying to mesh the two. Judah had a terrible problem with that, and trying to worship both, and essentially then they were worshiping the false gods. And this is bringing about their calamities. And so Israel, the northern kingdom, will go into captivity, be taken away by Assyria, and then about roughly, say, a century later or so, the southern kingdom of Judah will go into captivity, and that is kind of a focal point of Jeremiah's time. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for it is in its welfare you will have welfare, or it's in its peace that you will have peace, or in its well-being and security and tranquility you will have security, tranquility, well-being. This is the verse I was referring to earlier that John had used, and crops up in World Magazine sometimes. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. It should be a great concern on our path of life to effectively and spiritually affect the well-being, the common will of our communities and our cities and our whole culture at large. And this is certainly something the Lord wants us to see. They're exiles at this point. Now, we are all, and even at our best and living for the Lord and walking close to Him, we're exiles, right? We're aliens. We're immigrants. The Bible speaks numerous times, and we find this in the Old Testament. Abraham was in a very prosperous, sophisticated, for its day, city. Archaeologists tell us this was a really very impressive place. And God, come out of that city, come out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he becomes like a sojourner, and he goes to various places, and he lives in tents and so forth. And he's a pattern for us as this immigrant sojourner. And then we see in the New Testament, we're spoken of as such and spoken of as aliens. And often this world sees us as being illegal and rejects us and works against us and seeks to spite us. So there's a couple of ways we can look at this city of exile. One is that we are in an exile state ourselves right now. And we're waiting to go to that city which was not made with hands, whose builder and maker is God. We're looking for that. Now, another experience we can have is that we've gotten away from the Lord like Israel did, and like Judah, the southern kingdom, and we are in a captivity. They had done various things to bring this about. Sabbath breaking the Sabbath year, which is every 7 year, their idolatry, mistreatment of the destitute, poor, and so forth, and there are numerous things told in different places in the prophets and in the historical books as to why this happens. They were to be in exile there for 70 years because of the 70 Sabbath years that they had not kept, which exhibits a lack of faith. It takes faith to do a Sabbath year. Like, I don't plant any crops this seventh year. Well, what am I going to eat? You know, and what if then the next year I plant over again after that, things don't go so well, and I need to go ahead and plant. I can't do this Sabbath year. I'm not exhibiting the faith. It took faith to observe that year. And so the disobedience in that regard was its defiance and so forth, and it's also a lack of faith. So due to a lack of faith and due to sin in our lives, we can have little temporary exiles, Babylonian exiles in our life. And either way, whatever our experience is as exiles, in the meantime, we are to seek the welfare of the city, pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. Okay. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we just pray that you would help us and guide us to have the right response to our culture. Help us to have a loving response. Help us to have a response that honors you. Help us to have the humility we should have. Help us to have the boldness you would desire to see in us. Help us, Lord, to have the burden, the care. Help us, Lord, to make an impact. Help us in all this to seek your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you.